This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and happy to be joined, as we always are on Sunday, by Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, my friend, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Dean. Always nice to be on with you on Sunday morning.
We always appreciate it very much. All the talk this morning is about the variant virus that experts are now predicting could overtake the original virus in a very short period of time. How concerned should we be with all of this?
Well, the concern is definitely going to be how contagious it is, and it appears to be much more contagious. And the variant we're talking about, because there's three variants out there that we know of right now. The UK variant, which is the one that we've really tracked around the world. And then there's a South African variant, and then just last week, a Japan variant as well. So the big thing there is going to be, how contagious is it? How much is it going to spread? It appears that the vaccine will work for this variant, which is very important. But then in the meantime, it's going to be, how many more cases are we going to get? Because as we start to add cases, unfortunately, some of those cases end up with a vulnerable population, and we end up with hospitalizations and deaths.
This the variants, the way they're describing them, seem like a little, extra sneaky viruses that, can sneak around all the protections that we have right now. Do we need to do something special to protect ourselves from that? Or is it pretty much the same as what we've been doing now for, believe it or not, almost a year?
Yeah, it's a lot of basic blocking and tackling, as Dave Ennett would say. But really, it comes down to, this virus, when it changes, this is, Darwinism at its finest, the survival of the fittest. So the virus that figures out how to get around some of the defense mechanism that the body may have, or to make sure that it's programmed itself so that it can cause disease quicker, those are the ones that are going to survive. Exactly what we would expect. But now the biggest thing is going to be, keep our vigilance for everything we have right now as we get more people vaccinated, and we can knock down this variant and really make it a non-issue.
Which makes all the news that we've been hearing about the allocation of the vaccinations all the more frustrating, that stockpiles that were said to have been there were not, and that a stockpile that we thought might be coming to people quicker will not. That's got to be incredibly, incredibly frustrating for those of you who are trying to get needles into people's arms as quickly as possible.
Dean, I can't tell you how frustrating it is. And, the uncertainty of production, the uncertainty of delivery throws a lot of water on this that we're really concerned about. We all have to remember that the science was done to show a vaccine on day one and then a follow-up booster on day 21 or 28, depending on whether you were talking about Pfizer or Moderna. So we are planning, and people are saying, well, why are we withholding doses? Some of the ones that we're withholding make absolute sense now, right? If you give dose one to somebody and you can't give dose two, what is the science going to show us? We know that the science will show us that you get about 50, 60% protection just with dose one. But really, the big bang to the 90, 95% is with that booster. So, boy, we're really a little bit concerned. And, President-elect Biden with his 100 million in 100 days, when you start to do the math, we have to make sure that we realize 100 million people getting this in 100 days comes out to 200 million doses that we need. So we really need the reassurance and the logistics that we can give this vaccine right to make sure we're protecting everyone.
Now, I had heard that the doses were there. It's just the distribution of the doses that was the problem. Is that not the case?
Well, that was the case for round one here. So when we all got it for the healthcare workers in the state of Illinois, that second dose was held back. In other words, they didn't give us all of them, but on day, it came out to us on day about 19, for the 21 days, we got that second dose. So we knew that the state had those. Therefore, we were able to vaccinate the maximum number of people we could with the doses on hand. But now what they're saying is the federal stockpile has been completely depleted. States, depending on how they acted, Illinois acted in a conservative way, but very thoughtful. Other states went full bore and now are struggling to say, okay, where are we going to get that second dose from? Because that federal allocation, that stockpile is gone.
I'm hearing that numbers are slowing down. The number of people testing positive is slowing down. Is that the case? Because there are sections of the state of Illinois further downstate where they are going to be allowing some indoor dining, some limited indoor dining. They're talking about it in the Chicago area. Is the positivity rate hopeful at this point?
Yeah, I think two things. One, the positivity rate, and two, I think that, you know, Northwestern just announced, you know, that we noted one of these variants. We identified it, so we know it's here in Chicago, and just because we noted one means that it is out there. And whether it's this new strain is not, doesn't cause as much disease, but still can spread quicker. And I think we're starting to see more people complacent about getting testing done. So, we are seeing improvement. I can tell you that the hospitalization rate for the state is down, and that's very reassuring, especially being this time of the year. But I think that opening some indoor dining is probably going to be good. I think we probably have identified that sometimes indoor dining is safer than in-home dining with large groups.
Is the problem of distribution similar in other states, or is this something peculiar to the state of Illinois and the Chicago area?
Yeah, well, you know, Dean, when you talk about distribution, it's two things. One is how many vaccines are we getting? And then two is how are we actually distributing them to patients? You know, you've seen in the news, I'm sure, the long lines in some states, kind of ridiculous. I think Governor Pritzker is saying, hey, you know what, we're going to do this in a more organized fashion. Instead of having people wait in line, let's make sure that we identify the right people, give them appointment times, make sure that it's smoother transition than people waiting in line 5 hours only to find out that they don't have vaccine for them. So there's that issue. And there's the issue that the distribution kind of went out without any guidance as far as, okay, here's state of Connecticut, here are your doses, here's how we'd like you to use them. So many governors and many Department of Health officials had totally different views on how to distribute them and who to get them to. So a little bit more organization on the front end certainly would make this look a lot smoother.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then there were stories of how some of the doses were discarded. They weren't used and simply were discarded. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That is amazing, and that is the sad part. People have to understand that once we reconstitute this, and for the Pfizer one, once we thaw it, we have specific time frames that we know that the vaccine is good for. I can tell you at Northwestern, we did that, and at the end of our vaccination date, we would have people what we called in the bullpen. So in other words, if we had 20 doses left, we had 20 people on the sidelines ready to come up and take those 20 doses. Some places didn't have that forethought and unfortunately had to throw away doses because they had gone outside of the manufacturer's recommendations.
Unbelievable. We have time for a couple of quick calls. Can Dr. Most explain why indoor dining at restaurants is more risky than shopping at a grocery store or big box store?
Yep. So indoor dining, if you think about it, you know, most places are going to have limits of 4 to 6 people. One thing is the amount of time. So we talk about exposures with the CDC, and it's 15 minutes. So when you're in a restaurant, you're not going to have your mask on. You're going to be sitting at a table for somewhere between 15, 45, an hour with a mask off in discussion. I don't know about you, but when I go into the grocery store, I'm not walking around talking and singing, and I have my mask on. So as long as I clean my shopping cart and do my shopping as I normally would, my exposure to any individuals is much, much lower. So in a restaurant setting, closer individuals, longer period of times, no mask certainly works. Now, I say that, but I also say that in the home setting, because people that aren't going to restaurants are still socializing, inviting friends over, two things happen there. One, they're there for a longer period of time. And two, they're obviously much closer in proximity where you can't control that. So indoor dining will probably be helpful, not only for the economy, but also for our mental health. And then also, if we do it properly, we actually can prove that it'll probably slow the transmission.
I was in a grocery store yesterday morning doing my shopping. I'm in the produce department, and two of the clerks of the store are talking to each other, both of them in different aisles of the produce department. So they're sort of yelling you know, toward each other so they can be heard. Both of them with their masks are underneath their chins. And, I was frozen. You know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I didn't want to walk anywhere near them. I went way out of my way to get away from them, even though I had my mask on. And I went and I found the store manager. I hate to be like a jerk like that, but these guys are completely ignoring the rules that they're supposed to, talking loudly, and I presume expelling spit, germs over the celery, over the oranges, right. Over the, you know, and, you know, for 2 months, I've been wondering, how did I get COVID-19? I'm not shocked how I got COVID-19 after seeing something like that, of people completely ignoring the rules like that.
And Dean, don't say, you know, you're being a jerk by going to the manager. That going to the manager is allowing him to do some good professional coaching. So as long as he didn't come out there and say, hey, you're fired for doing this, but walked back and said, hey, guys, remember, this is what the expectation is. This is what the science has shown. Please wear your mask. You can speak through your mask. So anytime we have an opportunity to coach and say, hey, you know, slip your mask up. It slipped down over your nose, you know, and kind of take it lightheartedly versus being very militant, I'll say,
right.
Is very good. So I think that manager probably appreciated it, because if you noticed it, other people did. And the next thing you know, they're like, I'm not going to that store because it doesn't feel safe. Plenty of other options for groceries.
Hey, excuse me. Your mask seems to have slipped down under your chin.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Kevin, thank you so much. As always, good to talk to you. Have a great week.
You got it, Dean. Take care.
It's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital.